How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I am your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to give me a follow on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. On today's episode, we will be discussing the Eagles' plans at the edge rusher position, as well as our deeper analysis into the Eagles' victory over the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday night. If you are new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast. Can't thank you guys enough for doing that. You do a phenomenal job. All the engagement interactions I get across all platforms, really, especially after an Eagles win. I'm glad I get to share that excitement with you guys. It makes doing this more fun. So thank you guys for showing support as always. It's about 4:15 right now. Hope you guys had a good Tuesday. Hope you guys are getting ready for the holiday week. I'm sure those of you at work are not really working this week. So hope you guys get to enjoy your Thanksgiving with your families if you celebrate, and get some shopping done this weekend in preparation for the Christmas holidays or whatever it is that you guys celebrate. So be sure to stay safe and what have you this holiday season. First on the to-do list for today, the Eagles did make a roster move as far as edge rusher goes following the injury to Brandon Graham. He tore his triceps in that game, so they lost Brandon Graham for the season. They are also without Bryce Huff for the year after they placed him on injured reserve last week following wrist surgery. So they're going to need some bodies along the edge to help compensate for those losses. So the Eagles went ahead and brought in former Commanders defensive end KJ Henry. Henry was a 2023 fifth-round pick out of Clemson. He was among Washington's final roster cuts this past summer. He spent some time with the Bengals, I believe. He was picked up by Dallas, and he was waived last week. So Henry passes through waivers on Monday. The Eagles go ahead and pick him up, having a need at the position. KJ Henry, 2.5 sacks in 14 games played so far in his career. His scouting report, when I looked it up, had some enticing things in there. They have him labeled as a highly athletic edge defender with good size. So maybe Vic Fangio can extract something out of him. He's gotten stellar play out of Jalix Hunt so far. He's been doing some good things, and we're seeing the job that he's doing with the linebackers. So maybe KJ Henry can come in here, study under Fangio for a little bit, and make some plays for this defense. The Eagles are reportedly adding him to the practice squad once a spot opens up, once they shut down Brandon Graham. I anticipate they'll be calling up Taron Jackson, another edge defender. They brought him back a couple weeks ago, so I think that they will, if I had to guess, they'll call him up, and then they'll add KJ Henry to the practice squad. So that's the way I see that going down. So enticing name, enticing talent. I'm intrigued to see what happens with KJ Henry. And other edge rusher news, conveniently, impeccable timing, another name may be available. I doubt it, actually, as I said. I don't think he will be available, but it is convenient timing for the Philadelphia Eagles. Veteran outside linebacker Shaq Barrett is apparently coming out of retirement right when the Eagles need an edge rusher. Color me surprised. Shaq Barrett requested reinstatement from the reserve retired list today. He signed a deal with the Miami Dolphins in March, so he's still a member of that team. So if once he does get reinstated, comes out of retirement, he will be a member of the Miami Dolphins. They still hold his contractual rights. So once we see this news, Eagles fans, myself included, are screaming that, oh my God, Howie made a call. Shaq Barrett's about to be an Eagle. He's about to come in here, help this team to a Super Bowl. Howie got on the phone and said, hey man, I know you said you were done, but you can still play. Come over here. We need some help on the edge, and let's get this ring. Well, there's quite a hurdle for that to happen, if that was even the situation. First and foremost, Shaq Barrett would have to request and be granted his release from the Miami Dolphins. Not likely, because why would Miami just let him walk for nothing? They signed him. He retired a few months later. They didn't have adequate time or resources to replace him. So why would they then give Shaq Barrett what he wants by going to play for someone else? I don't think that's realistic. I don't think Miami is just going to say, yeah, man, go ahead. It is what it is. Go ahead. Go play for whoever. I think Miami would hold the power and say, you're either going to play for us or not at all. Like, why would we let you go and play for somebody else? So I don't think that would be a realistic development. But let's say they did. Let's say Miami said, bygones be bygones. Go do whatever. We'll release you. Go do whatever. He would then have to pass through waivers. Also not likely, because now that it is after the trade deadline, all veterans have to go through waivers. If this was before the trade deadline, all players with 4+ years in the NFL can just be outright released and they can sign with whoever they want. But now that we are past the trade deadline, every single player released is now subject to waivers. You have to pass through waivers. And then if you go unclaimed, you can go to whatever team you want. Like Daniel Jones, he had to go through waivers. He's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. He's had to go through waivers. Every single player who gets cut after the trade deadline has to go through waivers. If you go unclaimed, then you can sign. Nobody's claiming Daniel Jones because that contract is ridiculous. Somebody would claim Shaq Barrett. He has 59 sacks across a 9-year career. He had a 19.5 sack season in 2019. I know that was 5 years ago, but the talent, he might still have it. And I don't think that 31 other teams would let Shaq Barrett fall through the cracks. So even if Miami, for whatever reason, did let him walk and they said, it doesn't matter, you don't have to play for us, you can come back and we'll let you go and go do whatever, don't think that's the case. And even if they did, he's not surviving waivers. So the road to Philadelphia is not a clear one for Shaq Barrett, if that was the situation. But it was fun for about 10 minutes. And even if he did make it through waivers and he could pick with whatever team he wanted to sign, back in August, Shaq Barrett said that the Buccaneers would be the only team he'd play for if he came back. So if he had his pick, he would just go back to Tampa Bay. So, probably not happening, guys, as fun as that would be. Barrett is reportedly fine with playing for Miami. However, some reporters have gotten in contact with him, and he wants to play for Miami and stay there, and he's fine with that. So it was a fun thought. It was a fun thought, guys, but it is a pipe dream to this point. It was just funny how the Eagles, oh man, they need an edge rusher, and then a former like 2-time Pro Bowler becomes available. That would have been something. But there's a lot of formalities that go into it that I just don't think would be realistic at this point in the season. So that is the news we have. As far as edge rusher goes, if anything else comes up regarding that position, I'll be sure to let you guys know. I saw Detroit, I think, release somebody as I'm recording this. I'll look into that name. I can't see who it is at the moment, but I'll look into that name, get some information on him, and I'll write him up after this show so you can catch that writing over at thelibertyline.com. I took a deeper dive, as I promised I would, into the game from Sunday night against the Rams, and a lot of things popped out on tape and a lot of numbers popped out as well. I have some fun offensive stats for you guys, starting with Saquon Barkley, who despite his record-setting offensive output is 303 total scrimmage yards, is 255 rushing yards, he only played 50 snaps on Sunday. He only played 68% of the snaps. That is his fourth lowest snap total of the season. And a lot of us are almost concerned with the usage of Saquon Barkley. Is he going to wear down as the season goes on? How's he going to look come playoff time? He played his fourth lowest snap count on Sunday night despite doing everything that he did. And if the Eagles continue to like blow teams out and they clinch, we'll go over the clinching scenarios tomorrow, the updated ones. If they somehow clinch by the end of the season and he doesn't have to play those last two games against Cooper Rush and Tommy DeVito, then it is what it is, and he'll be healthy. Although, I'm sure he'll have his eye on some of those records. He leads Derrick Henry right now atop the rushing list. Even though he's a game behind, the Ravens haven't had their bye week yet, and he's chasing that rushing record now. So we'll see if what the situation will be come the end of the year, if they opt for him to chase the record, even if they clinch, or what the case is. But they're a game behind Detroit right now. So as long as that stays that way, I think they'll have something to play for at the end of the season. Saquon currently leads 67. He leads by 67 rushing yards over Derrick Henry in one less game played following Derrick Henry. It's funny how we look at Derrick Henry's 140-yard performance, and we're like, that's child's play as compared to Saquon's 250-yard game, when they're both stellar running backs. But seeing him in the box score 140 yards, that ain't nothing, man. Psh, whatever. Get on our level. That's how I felt when I watched that, which is crazy. Saquon, Derrick Henry, and Josh Jacobs are the top three leading rushers in the league. The combined teams, let's have this discussion, actually, because I got a lot of pushback on this. The combined records of the teams that let those players go, the Giants, the Raiders, and the Titans, are 7-26. Now, you could make the argument that those teams would only have one or two more wins with those players if they had kept them. You can't invest resources into running backs when you have so many other pressing needs. That's fine. But I see Giants fans, like, why do they have to mention the Giants every time Saquon does something? I'm getting tired of it, blah, blah, blah. This is getting exhausting. The Giants had 6 years to put a competent line in front of Saquon Barkley. They did not do so. You can't say, oh, Saquon has more help in Philly than he ever did here. That's not the Eagles' fault. That's the Giants' fault. The Giants didn't appreciate him for 6 years. They didn't put a line in front of him. They didn't put weapons around him. They didn't give him adequate QB play. They left Saquon out there to dry. So I think that argument is crazy. They took the same resource that they would have given Saquon Barkley, they gave to Drew Lock and, like, Devin Singletary. You're telling me that combined money couldn't have went to Saquon Barkley? And you wanted to, oh, we're paying Daniel all this money. Now you have neither. Now you have neither, and where does that leave you? You have Malik Nabers pissed off now. Malik Nabers is running around saying, it doesn't matter who the QB is. The team is shit. The team is shit. The front office is shit. Everything is shit, is basically what Malik Nabers is saying. So it doesn't matter. This is the repeat OBJ. Sensational talent for 5, 6, 7 years. Couldn't do anything with it. I hope they don't do that to Malik Nabers, because I love him as a player. But this is rinse and repeat. OBJ, Saquon, Nabers, I hope you're not next, man. But don't give me the he has more help in Philly. That's why he's excelling. The Giants never tried to do anything for Saquon Barkley. 6 years you had to put a half decent offensive line. Saquon doesn't need an all-world defensive line to be productive. Give him a competent one, and he would have done amazing things. He did do amazing things with the Giants, but he could have done more if you just somewhat supported him. It was the Daniel, well, we're going to put all of our eggs in the DJ basket, and now you have no eggs. Basket's empty. What are you going to do?
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
AJ Brown somehow is still a top 10 in receiving this year. He has 727 yards. He has only played 8 games. He is top 10 in receiving in 8 games. He has like 20 less targets than everybody else on that list. He has 727 yards on just 39 catches. I want you guys to fathom that. 3 less games, 8 games played, and this man is top 10. The players ahead of him, Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers has 99 targets. AJ Brown is 56. Courtland Sutton has 17 more yards than A.J. Brown on 40 more targets, 95 targets. This is unreal production that A.J. Brown puts up. If he was healthy, he'd be top two, top three receiver. This man is top 10 in the league in yards and only played 8 games on 39 catches. I just saw that number earlier today when I was looking at the wide receiver rankings, and I was like, Lord, C.D. Lamb has 118 targets. He only has 97 more yards than A.J. Brown, and he has double his receptions, 77 receptions to A.J. Brown's 39. Crazy, crazy production from A.J. Brown. I almost feel like I've probably say this on a weekly basis, so I'm sorry if this is redundant, but I feel like we take him for granted when we look at that box score. And I'm like, A.J. Brown is so sensational, but Saquon is playing so otherworldly right now that everything else kind of just falls by the wayside. But don't forget how great A.J. Brown is as well. I want to run you guys the Rams wide receiver numbers against Quinyon Mitchell, because everyone saw the garbage time touchdown that Cooper Kupp caught and Quinyon Mitchell made the tackle that was not Quinyon Mitchell's fault as far as Pro Football Focus is concerned. They're the ones that chart all this stuff. Wide receivers versus Quinyon on Sunday night. Puka Nacua targeted once, one catch, 14 yards. Tutu Atwell targeted once, one catch, 7 yards. Cooper Kupp targeted once, one catch, 5 yards. That is a total of 26 receiving yards. Quinyon Mitchell has not given up 30 receiving yards in a game since the bye week. The only two games that has happened is the Green Bay game and the Tampa Bay game, because Sterling Shepard got loose a couple times. All the other games, he has held receivers combined under 30 yards in every single game. That garbage 27-yard touchdown to Cooper Kupp was Sidney Brown's coverage assignment. So the streak lives. The streak lives. Quinyon Mitchell still has not given up a touchdown this season. Quinyon had to make the tackle because Sidney Brown had busted coverage, didn't cover his assignment, and Quinyon had to make that tackle. But the streak lives, guys. Don't worry about it. Forced incompletions in the NFL. Denzel Ward leads with 16. Quinyon Mitchell is right behind him with 11. Quinyon Mitchell had a pass breakup on a throw intended for Puka Nacua that wasn't even his intended receiver. Isaiah Rodgers was covering Puka Nacua. Matthew Stafford threw it. Quinyon Mitchell was covering a drag route in between, got his hand up, and tipped the pass. And Isaiah Rodgers almost took it the other way for 6 points. But it's funny how Quinyon Mitchell got credited with a pass breakup on a pass that wasn't even intended for him. But Quinyon Mitchell still finding ways to disrupt passes without even being targeted. These receivers are running away from him at this point. They ran to Slay all game when he was in there before he left. They ran to Isaiah Rodgers. They're running to everywhere they can possibly go to that isn't Quinyon Mitchell. This man was only targeted 3 times that whole game. Just not even the commentators during the game were like, we don't talk about Quinyon much because the quarterbacks don't look at him. Quinyon has that whole side of the field shut down. Nakobe Dean, guys, this man has taken a massive step in year 3, a step that I didn't think he could make. There's a lot of things said about Nakobe Dean and his size and coming into the year, and he's not jumping off the page, and we don't know what Nakobe Dean is going to be in the NFL. He is a game wrecker. At this stage in week 12, entering week 13 of the 2024 NFL season, I'm labeling him as a game wrecker. Team high 8 tackles, 3 pressures, 2 tackles for loss, 1 sack. His tape, I posted up on my Instagram page. I have it. His tape was unbelievable against the Rams. His instincts pop off so much on tape. He is chasing down Kyren Williams across the field. He's fighting through blocks. At his size, he is fighting through blockers to make the tackle. Development takes time, and I understand that in the NFL. Dean is taking a crazy monster step in year 3. The things that he is doing, the sacks. He's running over running backs on the way, and I understand that saying that a defensive player ran over a running back doesn't sound impressive, but from a size comparison, Nakobe Dean isn't that big. He's running over running backs to get to quarterbacks. This man's forcing fumbles. I can't say enough great things about what I'm seeing from Nakobe Dean. I've spent so much time gushing over Zach Bond, deservedly so, because he's been so great this year. But Nakobe Dean as his partner, I love how like 1 week one of them stands out and the other week the other one kind of stands out. The game where they both, It's been a few games, like the Jaguars game is one of them. The game where they both just play out of their minds. The quarterbacks aren't going to be able to do anything. But I like how at least one of them is always playing at an all pro level. And Nakobe Dean is a guy who, man, I hope you guys don't just take my word for it. Like, go to the IG page and go check out what Nakobe Dean is doing. I have him circled so it's easy to follow and everything. N'Kobe Dean is doing crazy things on tape. He's running lateral. He's running sideline to sideline. It's almost like I hate saying Fred Warner so much, but like I can't help because 3 years ago I used to watch a lot of tape of Fred Warner, and I was like I used to pray on my knees to the heavens for a linebacker that could do half of the things Fred Warner is doing. And now we have two who are chasing down running backs in a way that I adored Fred Warner for doing. And these guys are just, I am nothing gets me off more than a running back taking a toss, running to the sideline, and a linebacker chasing him out that sideline on a pursuit angle. N'Kobe Dean does it so much throughout a game, as does Zach Bond. I love it. I love watching linebackers chase down running backs along the sideline. It gets me going. Good job, N'Kobe Dean. Sticking with the Georgia guys, Jalen Carter only had one pressure on Sunday night, but he faced double teams on 22 of his 35 pass rushing snaps. They doubled him almost every single snap. One guy that takes advantage of that is Milton Williams. He had a career night on Sunday night. He had two sacks. He had a forced fumble. He is now up to 5 sacks on the year. On one of the episodes I did last week, I talked about players that are deserved midseason contract extensions. Milton Williams is on that list. He's going to command a nice price tag coming up. He's heating up right in time for free agency. I like the things I am seeing from Milton Williams. He takes advantage. When Jalen Carter's getting doubled, Milton Williams makes them pay for it. Soon, they're going to have to stop doubling people because Milton is going to be there in the backfield. So, good job, Milton Williams. Jalen Carter played 81% of the defensive snaps this season. So that cardio is working out for Jalen Carter. I talked about how in last week's game, he played 100%. He only missed 10 snaps in the Sunday night game, and he has played a total of 81% of the defensive snaps this season. Fletcher Cox has only done that once, I'm pretty sure. I have to go fact check that. But I think Fletcher Cox has only eclipsed 80% of the season snaps one time in his career. So to see Jalen Carter already doing it, that is very good. That is very good to see. Through 12 weeks, the Eagles remain the number one defense in the NFL. The offense is ranked number 3. They are number 1 rushing, but they are the number 25 ranked passing offense. I said in the preview pod last week that sooner or later, the Eagles are going to have to throw. They haven't had to yet because Saquon has been playing amazing. But when it comes down to it, this passing offense is going to have to hit a switch. That's not saying they're bad. That's saying they haven't had to throw the ball because of the way Saquon is playing. But one of these games, one of these weeks, it might not happen till the playoffs. Going to have to win a game with Jalen Hurts' arm. And I'm fully confident that they will be able to do that. Thank you guys for checking out this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. We'll be talking playoff scenarios and previewing the Ravens game this week. So always be on tap and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. I will catch y'all at that time. Until then, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pod.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.